midday time is 7 after the hour.
Oh, I like this. Like the guy whose feet are too
big for his bed. There are very few of us, no matter what your age, that are not familiar with this song, and more importantly, the movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, from which the movie music comes. You can, in fact, visualize Newman on a bike with married to Sam Elliott, Kate Catherine. Isn't that awful? I can't. Skinny.
Yeah.
Very pretty face. Yep.
We all know.
Is it Ryan? Not Ryan.
No.
Anyway, you get the picture, literally and figuratively, from
Catherine Ross.
Catherine Ross. Thank you, Richie. One of the great westerns. Never mind westerns. One of the great stories. That was filmed, the movie and the story tell of the life of these two guys, more or less. And then now, along comes someone who questions the validity of the final scenes of the movie. If you remember, if you don't, let me just sort of paint this picture. The story of Butch Cassidy, one of the I suppose you use the word notorious, well-known, infamous, Old West outlaws. Most people think, or thought, past tense, because now that's changing, that he was killed in that shootout of which the final scene of the movie depicts in Bolivia, the two of them, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, shooting it out with all of these the gendarmes. So, is it possible that that final scene, in fact, did not depict what is true? Joining us now is Brent Ashworth, who owns B. Ashworth's Inc. It's a bookstore, most exclusive dealer in rare manuscripts, books, arts, collectibles. He and his wife have had this store in Provo, Utah, for the last 5-6 years, and apparently, as a rare books collector, Richie, he has a manuscript with evidence that sort of blows up the old story about Butch Cassidy being blown up in Bolivia. Mr. Ashworth, thank you for joining us.
Sure.
This is a very...
Good day coming up.
Story itself, let's go back to it. Did I leave out anything that was important in terms of the life of Butch Cassidy? I think most, even if you didn't know the story, after maybe hearing me tell a little of the story, hopefully people get a picture of what this guy, he's not unlike Jesse James, younger brother, all of the stories that were written, these dime novels that were written about these people, most of the stuff was made up. Apparently, there was more truth to the story of Butch Cassidy than there were many of the others that were written about, would you say, other than how he met his fate. Is that true or not?
I think that's true, yes. He ran the largest outlaw gang and the last in the history of the American West.
Yeah.
Had over 400 members of it at one time.
You imagine that? 400.
Yeah. And
big business.
We're all familiar with the Fort Worth Five photograph, which was the one taken after the Winnemucca Bank robbery in Nevada, where he appears with Sundance and the news carver, Kid Curry. And they mailed that photograph back to the bank with a note from Butch saying, thanks for the contribution. Kind of a dumb move in a way because the photo was sent throughout the world to all of the law enforcement agencies,
right,
and it made it important for them to get out of the country. So that's when they had South America. And of course, a lot of people thought they died in the shootout down in San Vicente, Bolivia, 1908. But there's a lot of evidence, including this manuscript that was recently found, the Band of the Invincible. That Butch actually escaped, came back to the United States. His sister, Lula Parker Pettinson, in her book, indicated that he visited the family as late as 1925 in Circleville, Utah.
So now you, as a rare books person, have the manuscript. Is that right?
That's correct.
How do you procure? How does somebody like you, even though well known in this area, how do you find something, or how do people find you with a rare manuscript like this?
Well, it was a bit of a fluke, but I was collecting Butch Cassidy material ever since I was a prosecutor down in Carbon County, Utah, in the town of Price, back in the 70s, when I met several old-timers that claimed to have known Butch both before and after his supposed demise in 1908, that he'd come back and visit with them. And I actually own the last two known letters of Butch Cassidy written in 1907, 1908.
What are those worth? Just out of curiosity, what's something like that worth on the open market?
I really don't know. There hasn't been a Butch Cassidy letter sold in many, many years. And I've had these for probably close to 20, 25.
Did you have to buy them, or did somebody give them to you?
No, I bought them.
That's so cool.
I bought them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was always fascinated by his story.
What I want to know is how it feels with any memorabilia like this, the older it is, or maybe the more interesting the story that's attached
to own a piece
of
history.
To own a piece like that, exactly, a piece of paper that has on it. I mean, I kind of like talking to Chuck Berry once about writing the words to My Ding-a-ling on a napkin. I mean, it may not have the same significance, but it's still interesting to touch that napkin and think, okay, look what came out of that. Imagine touching this piece of paper that was held by somebody like, or anything, you know, any document by any famous person. It just seems almost eerie, doesn't it?
Well, that's the charm. That's why we do it.
That's why it's saleable. Right, there's market for it.
Sure.
So you've got this manuscript called Bandit Invincible, written by a guy claiming to be William T. Phillips. But you actually think that it was Butch Cassidy because the information in there is really spot on, right?
Well, we now know that Phillips was actually a close associate of Butch Cassidy, and that he relates exactly what he learned from having been a close associate and an outlaw.
Phillips the machinist was an outlaw?
Yeah. He was a machinist. He lived in Spokane, Washington, the last years of his life. Which his real sister, Lula Parker Bettinson, said he lived in the Northwest. Later on, she told friends and others that they actually lived in Spokane.
Didn't Wyatt Earp go live up there someplace, too? Wasn't he? He died in 1929, if memory serves me correctly. Didn't he live up in the Northwest somewhere?
Well, he did for a while. He actually lived up in Alaska, went to the Gold Rush in Alaska. And then he died in Los Angeles later. Of course, he was Wyatt was known as, for who he was.
Right.
It was brought on movie sets and so on towards the end of his life.
Yeah, he wasn't an outlaw. It just is interesting that he lived in and then sort of became, if there's any, is normal, whatever that means. It appears that Butch Cassidy may have done the same thing.
It sure does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where is it in this book, in this manuscript, that makes you think that Butch Cassidy was alive after 1908?
Well, there's a lot of evidence of his earlier activities and things he did later. Phillips, for instance, was known to have gone up after his machine business went under during the Great Depression of the 1930s. He was searching for some of the stashes from the earlier outlaw period up in the Bighorn Valley up in Wyoming.
His own stashes or stashes from others that had hidden money away and they either couldn't get back to it because they were captured or they couldn't remember where it was?
Probably both. He knew where he thought they were, but we don't believe he ever located them. He made at least two trips out there in the 1930s. Neither was successful, evidently.
Do you know where they are? Can we set up an expedition, you and me, and go out and find some of that stuff?
Well, I wish we could do that. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure people be looking again as time goes on.
So he goes out looking for these things, and what about that? What about
well,
that tells you that he knew that Butch was alive?
The trips there were noted by others in their diaries and so on. And, of course, in the Bandit Invincible, he talked about some of the famous robberies and so on, and some are not so famous that Butch was involved with. Phillips says he was not Butch, but someone very closely associated with him.
But there are some who think Phillips was Butch, right?
That's right. There are those that think that that he was. And but we now know, we now have evidence that that he was probably a cellmate by the name of William G. Wilcox, who changed his name to Phillips, and was very close to Butch. Butch lived up in the Spokane area, indeed, like his sister said. And the manuscript seems to verify.
When you say cellmates, how often was Butch Cassidy in jail, and where would he...
One time that we know of, and that was in the 1890s up in Wyoming Territorial Penitentiary in Laramie.
How did he get out?
He served his time, was released a little earlier by the governor, Governor Richards, he was not apologetic or anything like that, the governor. In fact, I think he made the point that this would be the last time he'd be in this kind of a situation again. So he didn't go straight. That's when his longest string of holdups and so on of trains and banks took place was after his incarceration.
So we only have a minute or so left. If there were one defining piece of evidence that makes you think, without a doubt, that Butch Cassidy lived until 1935, what would that be?
Well, I think this manuscript is probably it, and the statements of his sister that he'd come back to visit, and some old-timers that I met and others did in the 70s, they were still around, Mal Warren's two daughters, a judge, a doctor down in the Price area that said he knew Butch before and after told me that. Most people's memories are awful fuzzy. They all remember him both before and after his South American shootout.
Do you think?
Go ahead, Richie.
Do you think that the historical world in general will believe this, or do you think everybody will continue to believe he died in 1908 in Bolivia?
Well, I think people believe what they want to believe, but we at least have more evidence now.
It has some cachet to it.
Yeah.
So what about the Sundance Kid? Did he get knocked off in Bolivia?
Well, there's some question about whether he did or didn't. You know, there's various stories on him, too, and less, probably less corroborative information on his having come back. We just don't know.
Interesting stuff. Thank you for sharing.
And a place is even harder to find, the Catherine Austin character you mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah, Well, it's really interesting, and hopefully you'll be able to make some money on it. Maybe somebody will come up with a movie. Who knows? Bandit Invincible, the story of Butch Cassidy, dating to 1934, and the connection to William T. Phillips, told by Brett Ashworth, who is a rare books dealer in Provo, Utah. Thank you, sir.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. All other whey proteins are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is now the standard by which all other whey protein powders can be measured. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorld, WHEY.com.
Alex Jones here with vital information concerning our nation's fragile food supply. Folks, there are some truly dangerous trends forming, and I think it's important for my listeners to do three things right away. Number one, study the past. History really does repeat itself. Number two, learn to spot the dangerous food shortage trends. Number three, take decisive action. a perfect storm is brewing, or a global food crisis. That's why I'm telling everyone to read the new book, Rising Prices, Empty Shelves, Warning Signs That Trigger the Deadliest Famines in History. Don't get caught unprepared when the crisis hits. This book is only available at risingprisesemptyshelves.com. You'll also get a free copy of Supermarket Survival, How to Cut Your Grocery Bills in Half. Again, that website is risingprisesemptyshelves.com. That's risingprisesemptyshelves.com.
Consider your real claim to fame, Michael Madsen.
I probably would like to be thought of as a successful parent more than I would as an actor.
How seriously do they take you as a father versus a movie actor?
They would much rather watch SpongeBob, to be honest with you.
I'm ready. What a wonderful day.
See, I grew up in a poor neighborhood in China, and the middle school that I went to one year decided to pave the dirt roads with bricks of cement. And the students were required to bring bricks to school, and we worked really hard for 3 weeks. And finally, we built a road. And years later, I heard about the term child labor. I was like, what? Those kids got paid? I got a D minus.
Michael, who is that?
That was Joe Wong on
Joe. Joe Wong?
He's right, not Wong.
He's right, not Wong. Oh, Jennifer, you're so simplistic.
I know. Isn't it great?
It's 25 at the hour. Jennifer Horn, Doug Steffen, it's a good day. Labor Day, 800-510-8255. Lots of activity. Say it again, Doug. Lots of activity on the web. Here's something that happened on this date in 1885. Labor Day started 1882. So on Labor Day 1885, a fellow named Jake Gumper in Fort Wayne, Indiana, bought something. I want you to tell me what it is, our 2020 news quiz. For those of you who are new to the program, a lot of folks listen on holidays that either are not listeners because the station has some other programming we're on, and they know that we have a live show on all holidays, so they come to us for whatever reason. We're thankful to have you there as a new friends and associates. And so one of the things that we do, I try to do this at 20 past each hour. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not at getting it done. But from 20 after, I ask the question, before 20 before, you come up with the answer. So our focus here is trying to figure out what happened in terms of this man's business. Jake Gumper of Fort Wayne bought something that is still used. This is sort of a riddle, I guess. This is something still used today by more and more people for a product that is very important, even though we wish it weren't.
Okay. Say that one more time.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
This man, Jake Gumper, bought something that he put to use in his business on this date in 1885. He started a business. Actually, started the first business of its kind.
Okay.
Now, the item that he bought is still in use today by more and more people for a product that is very important, even though we wish it weren't. You got it? You know the answer, or you just
don't know the answer, but I understand the question.
All right. You want to think this one through? 800-510-8255. We'll give you some of our free e-food, which you can access even if you don't win a prize. You get free food. The difference between the one we give away as a prize and what you get is that you pay a small shipping and handling fee to get the e-food delivered to you. You can check out the box. E-food is in the Queen of Cheap box in our friends section. And also the right-hand side of the homepage, there's always that big gold box that comes up, says e-foods on it. Get free food. That's what you'll get when you win at 800-510-8255, a remarkable source of nutrition and food. Here's the premise one more time. On this date in 1885, Jake Gumper of Fort Wayne, Indiana, bought this tool. The tool is still used today by more and more people for a product that is very important, even though we wish it were not. 800-510-8255. What did this man buy? That'll be a source of good conversation, actually, as we work our way through Labor Day Monday, 28 past the hour on Good Day.
Without labor, nothing prospers. I'm Aileen Ellis. This is Primetime Focus. The Greek philosopher Sophocles is just one of the many people who've commented on the value of work and those who toil. John Locke wrote about this, too, in 1690 in an essay concerning human understanding. He said, "It is labor, indeed, that puts the difference on everything." But thankfully, as many of us celebrate this extra day off, we don't have to be quite so serious, do we? I prefer this thought from H.M. Tomlinson. There is a chance for us whenever we cease to work and become stargazers. Then there's this thought on retirement, which I don't completely agree with, written by H.L. Mencken. The only liberty an inferior man really cherishes is the liberty to quit work, stretch out in the sun, and scratch himself. I object to his use of the word inferior, but this does paint an image of our golden years as kind of lazy. But whether you have a day off or not, keep this idea by Douglas Pagels in mind. It's wise advice for daily living. Sometimes it's important to work for that pot of gold, but other times it's essential to take time off and to make sure your most important decision in the day simply consists of choosing which color to slide down on the rainbow. That's Primetime Focus, brought to you by AARP. I'm Aileen Ellis. Hear all our programs on the web at aarp.org/radio.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Another good day. Lottery numbers, the Powerball winning numbers last night.
Did we win?
9, 13, mm-hmm. 47.
Wait a minute. Shoot, where's my ticket?
Get your ticket out, Richie.
I got a ticket yesterday.
9, 13. You got your ticket?
I don't, it's in my office.
Uh-oh. Aww. 9, 13, 47, 49, 53 in the Powerball
Bingo.
Number.
Oh.
Powerball number. Was 39. I'm not sure the winning numbers are, this is the number they're supposed to win, but did somebody win? I always wonder how all of this stuff works. All of these state lotteries, the national lotteries.
I like when it's not me when no one else wins either.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Well, check back for updates on that, Jennifer.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Gentleman who's been on the program before, somebody I have great respect for, mostly because of his background. Maybe we all like people who are like ourselves. That's a funny thing about the human condition. We mm-hmm. like those who are like us. And Roger Johnson is the president of the National Farmers Union, a farmer. He is the 14th president of the National Farmers Union. He's from North Dakota, successful farmer. His family is still running the farm. Roger, is it Turtle Lake, North Dakota? Is that where you're from?
It is indeed, Doug.
And that's about, 400 people? How many people in Turtle Lake?
Oh, no, gosh, no. It's just over 700.
No!
Yeah, it's almost twice as large as you thought it was.
Oh, my God.
In fact, it might even be growing now.
Really?
For the first time in decades because it's kind of on the... Yeah, it's way out on the edge of the oil fields, so not really, 50 miles, but everybody's looking for places to live, so.
Yeah, well, they're looking for places to drill, one or the other.
Well, both.
Get us off of our, off of the national gold standard, which is oil. So there are a number of issues that affect farmers that affect all of us, frankly.
Sure.
And not often is it the focus, and because of my own background and being interested in kind of promoting some of these things, these ideas. I want people to know about the local farmer movement, how it's grown. You're more tactful than I am, and that's why you have that job, and maybe that's why I'm here, because you deal with the politicians. And basically, as a lobbying organization for the farmer, you have to speak their language, as it were.
Sure.
So I wonder... When movies come out, you've heard, if you haven't seen yet, this movie Farmageddon. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
All right. So for those who are not familiar with it, the lady who produces the movie is called Kristen Canty. She happens to buy raw milk at my dairy store here in Framingham. She's from Concord, Massachusetts, and she put together this documentary, which is a focus on this war against family farms. And even though you need to be tactful... Those of us who don't have to be tactful, we look at these sorts of things guns drawn in people's homes, trying to stop people from selling products that they that the consumer wants. How do we get a successful resolution to this conflict? Because it is a conflict between the public and the people who are supposed to work for us, but they don't think they do. They think they're working for themselves. That is the government.
Yeah. That's a really good question, and it's a question that really can more broadly be applied to almost everything in this country right now, particularly as it relates to government.
Yeah.
Especially as you sit out here in D.C. now. I've been here for 2.5 years, and it's a very, very different place than almost everywhere else in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it has become so conflict-ridden. I mean, it is to the point where you have people just speaking past one another, just way, way too much.
And nobody wants to give either, right?
That's right. Nobody wants to give, and they're sort of in their own realities. And communication, even though we've got more communication options today, it seems like people sort of gravitate towards the ones that they most feel comfortable with, and as a result, exclude a lot of the rest of the world. And that's a sort of a societal issue that I think we're all going to have to struggle with. What I would say about the conflict in agriculture, and we, as you put it, we are rightly in the middle of that. We have a lot of our family farmer members who are small producers, who are very, very strong local food advocates. And we have a number of our family farm members, particularly in the Midwest, in the Great Plains states, where you don't have as much population, where the ability to market directly to consumer is not as extensive as it is in the more populated areas, and where the land is much more amenable to larger scale production. You don't have a lot of obstacles, and it's you get a lot of efficiency by farming in a larger scale. So we have members very much in both camps.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the important characteristics, I think, that an organization that has that sort of a membership needs to have is the ability to listen better.
Yep.
And to spend a lot of time allowing our members to tell us what's important. And we really do that in our organization, at our conventions, both on the state level. In fact, a lot of our states have county level organizations, mm-hmm. and state, and then regional up to the national. It's a very participatory process. Those members who show up at those meetings, and subsequently those who are delegates to those conventions, are the ones who write the policy book. And it's, as you know, it's close to 200 pages long.
Oh, it's ridiculous. All right, so in light of that, you were with the president in Iowa. President has that Midwestern tour now behind him, all of the controversy about the bus and all that other stuff that went with it. But you and others that represented agriculture were in, I guess, I don't know what the event was, but I'd be curious to know what you thought. I know that doing what you do and being where you are, you have to come across the president all the time,
sure.
and Secretary of Agriculture and senators and congressmen that are all policy people, bureaucrats. So do you, and because you're in a sensitive political position, you don't take political sides publicly, but under the circumstances, using the language that you just used, did you feel like the people who are supposedly our leaders were listening, really listening, to what you said? Because these people, to this point, have not listened to anything. And this is me saying, and not you.
Yeah.
You have to agree. But I don't feel they listen to a damn thing, because they think they know it all. So why they bother with these tours is a question. But let me
push back just a little bit, because you've sort of left the door open for me to do that.
Yes, I have.
I really think at this particular event in Iowa, there was a fair amount of listening that went on. There were probably 200 folks or so that were invited to this event. The president came in and spoke to all of us as a group. We then broke into smaller groups, and there were probably 15 or 20 of us in a smaller breakout that met for about an hour and a half with Secretary Vilsack. The president came into that smaller group and spent probably 20 or 30 minutes with us as well, really asking questions and listening to what was being said. And we talked about a lot of these kinds of issues in that group, because in that group you had different vantage points as well, as you might rightly expect. And as an example of a case where I think you would have to agree that the secretary's been listening, there's never before this secretary been as much emphasis on programs like Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food. Programs that are really designed to support sort of this local food movement and to help educate people where their food comes from.
Yeah, and that's very important and very present to futuristic. That's one thing. But the same government, the same USDA that Vilsack runs, is running around trying to put keep people from buying raw milk, for example.
Yeah.
Making it difficult with all the rules and regulations for us to survive. I had talked before about the food safety bill last year and how onerous that was for people who want to get a local food from family farmers.
Yes, but do remember that the secretary took an oath to uphold the law and the Constitution.
Right.
And the law of this country, on the national level, does not support raw milk. These kinds of things have been allowed to be decided on a state-by-state basis. And you would know this better than I, but the last time I paid attention to this, there are actually quite a number of states.
Oh, there are.
28.
Yeah, maybe I should make that the issue. But in general, maybe just I should be more general, Roger. We're talking to Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union. Maybe more generalized in any the USDA. If you go down the aisle of food store, USDA regulates beef broth on the left side, and the Food and Drug Administration regulates chicken broth on the other side of the aisle. Okay, that kind of stuff. There's 47 different agencies do the same thing.
There's an even better example where you have in some circumstances where the pizza, if it's cheese pizza, is regulated by FDA, but if it's got pepperoni on it, then it's
USDA.
Because it's a meat product.
Yeah.
It's a USDA.
Right.
Well, you know, at some point when you have two major agencies in charge of regulating food, FDA and USDA. FDA regulates probably 80% of all the food. USDA and they are in the milk regulatory business.
Yeah.
USDA mostly in the meat side of things. Regulates about 20% of the food. Anytime you have that sort of a circumstance, you are going to have those products that are, you know, sort of the nonsensical ones that end up being right at the line of where does my jurisdiction stop and where does someone else's stop.
Yeah.
It's helpful sometimes. Well, it's fun to look at those sort of silly circumstances. I'm not so sure that we would be better off by just having one entity do everything.
Mm. Well, maybe sometimes, we don't need 47, though.
No, of course not. But, you know, I spent a lot of time in state government back in North Dakota as the Commissioner of Agriculture, and one of the things that I came to appreciate was the fact that a farmers union has long been a champion of competition in the marketplace, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For very good reasons. I mean, we think you get better efficiencies, you get better services, the customer ends up better off, the producers end up doing a better job. Well, I sort of concluded that the same thing is kind of true in government. Now, you have to be careful that you don't overdo that, but I saw lots of circumstances where a government agency was doing something and another government agency was doing the opposite.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, they kind of, you know, if you can bring those circumstances to the attention of the agencies, that sort of competitive juice that sometimes flows through the private sector and the entrepreneurs, it manifests itself to a degree in government as well. So it's not all bad to have government spread around a bit.
Yep.
You know, in this system of government in this country, we delegate under the national constitution a fair number of powers directly to the states.
Mm-hmm.
And so to the same degree that you'll sometimes see these conflicts between federal agencies, you will more often see them between state agencies and their federal agency counterpart, or even between state and local government entities. And, you know, that's it's just an inherent part of our government system in this country.
Well,
as awkward as it is, it's still the best system in the world.
I know. Everybody says, what was it, Winston Churchill said, this is the best of the worst.
It's the worst system in government, the worst kind of government in the world, except all the rest.
The rest of them, exactly. Roger, you'll join us again, I hope. It's always good to touch base with you to find out how the bottom line is on some of these issues. I was curious to know how you made out when you met with the president. Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union, here visiting with us on Good Day.
Get to Macy's Labor Day sale for 25 to 60% savings store-wide, plus an extra 15 or 10% off with your WOW Savings Pass or Macy's Star Rewards card. Take an extra 30% off fashion and home clearance items. Get a $10 savings card with any denim purchase. Take 40% off first impressions for baby. And save 60% on hotel collection bedding. Macy's Labor Day sale. Savings off regular, original sale and clearance prices.
Everyone knows that Cosmos considered the Bible, a magazine that provides women with all the info they need to have more satisfying relationships and hotter sex lives. But you may not realize that millions of men regularly sneak a peek at it. Well, now there's good news for male Cosmo fans. The brand has just launched CFG, Cosmo for Guys, an interactive monthly app for iPad packed with tips on understanding and pleasing a woman, both in and out of bed. Kate White, editor-in-chief of Cosmo.
The idea for CFG really came from men themselves. They often tell us that they love reading Cosmo because they want to find out what makes females tick. With CFG, we tell them everything they're dying to know. Guys will love all the secrets we reveal, from the touch thousands of women crave in bed to the five words you should never say on a date.
Find the CFG, Cosmo for Guys iPad app on the App Store or at iTunes.com/App Store.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
Hi, this
this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
On this Labor Day, there are parts of the country laboring under the duress of destructive weather. I'm David Weiss, and this is... Let's start in the south, along the Gulf Coast and inland. That is the sound of Tropical Storm Lee unloading waves of rain on several southern states. Main problem with this system? It's slow and stubborn, crawling at just a few miles per hour. Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, among the states drenched. Up to 20 inches of rain overall could fall in some areas before Lee moves away. Needless to say, this deluge has left the Labor Day holiday plans of many people underwater. Meanwhile, to the northeast, where the effects of that storm named Irene are still being felt, more than a week after Irene, there are tens of thousands still without power, with this noise heard in quite a few neighborhoods. Generators supplying power to some homes as utility crews continue their repairs. Yesterday, President Obama toured communities in New Jersey that are still dealing with the overwhelming flooding left behind by Irene. The president promising the government will meet its obligations and get people the help they need.
The entire country is behind you, and we are going to make sure that we provide all the resources that are necessary in order to help these communities rebuild.
And in the oh, by the way department, we have Hurricane Katia gaining strength out in the open Atlantic. Katia is now a Category 2. Too soon to tell if this one will reach the east coast of the U.S. Most computer models show Katia churning west of Bermuda with a close call for Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, and then moving northeast back out to sea. But that track is far from carved in stone. Now, here's something else that will matter to you.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Coffee, please.
Phyllis, what's that spring in your step? Are you in love?
In love with Dr. Schultz Custom Fit Orthotic Inserts. My feet feel fantastic.
What?
The Dr. Schultz Custom Fit Orthotic Kiosk at Walmart. It measures and analyzes your feet, then recommends the custom fit orthotic that's best for you.
Sounds expensive.
No way. They're a great deal.
Hey, get that guy his coffee. I'm off to Walmart.
Go to Walmart.com and search Dr. Schultz Custom Fit Orthotics for a kiosk nearest you. Savings versus other custom orthotics insert brands sold at retail.
It's a day off for many people today for the Labor Day holiday, and that includes a day off on Wall Street. The stock market can certainly use a breather following a down day last Friday. The Dow fell 253 points to 11,240. S&P down 30. NASDAQ closing with a loss of 66 points, all following the latest numbers from the Labor Department showing zero job growth for the month of August and a stubbornly high unemployment rate. Of course, on this Labor Day, many folks heading to the beach for a last blast of summer.
This is the traditional end of summer for most Americans, but back to the workforce on this Labor Day. The Census Department says there are nearly 154.5 million workers who are at least 16 years old in the U.S. labor force right now. Just over 16 million of them belong to a labor union. The most popular occupation, by the way, is teaching, with more than 7 million people earning their living in the classroom. About 10 million Americans are self-employed. 7.5 million hold down more than one job. But as we stated earlier, the focus these days are on the millions of Americans looking for work without a job. On the political front, Sarah Palin may or may not run for president, but she did run a half marathon yesterday. Palin ran in the event at Storm Lake, Iowa, and finished the 13.1-mile course around the lake in 1 hour, 46 minutes, and 10 seconds. By the way, Palin registered under her maiden name, Sarah Heath. And finally, we take you back to last night.
Am I going to the board? All right, let me hear a timp.
Yes, that's Jerry Lewis going to the timp for the final tote, but that was last year. This year, as you probably are aware, no Jerry to be seen on the shortened six-hour MDA Labor Day telethon. The parting of the ways between the MDA and Jerry has not been pretty. Many of us tuned in last night to see if Jerry Lewis's name would be mentioned at all. And it was by the co-hosts at the top of the show. They spent 5 minutes talking about Jerry's 45-year run with the MDA telethon. For the record, the final tote, we're told, for this year's telethon, about $61.5 million, topping last year's total of $58.9 million. Since the MDA did not find it necessary to close their show with this, we will. Jerry, if you please.
You'll never...
I'm David Weiss, and that's the news that matters.
Guys, now's the time to build your wardrobe at Macy's. Buy one, get one free. Suits from Michael Kors, Kenneth Cole, Tommy Hilfiger, and more. Buy one, get one free. Dress shirts and neckwear from Kenneth Cole Reaction, Jeffrey Beam, Michael Kors, and more. Buy one, get one free. Casual and dress pants from Haggar, Perry Ellis Portfolio, and Kenneth Cole Reaction. Buy one, get one during Macy's Labor Day Sale. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Free item must be of equal or lesser value. Exclusions apply.